good singing all the way around. That's just a blessing from on high. We bless the Lord for how good God's been, what He's done, the talent that we've been granted here, and all of it was just excellent and top shelf. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking there this morning in the book of Psalm, chapter number 50. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 50, if you find the place you're able to stand, we'll look there in that chapter. Psalm, chapter number 50. I want you to look at verse number 1. The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of the beauty, God hath shined. And I want to tell you right now is that there's nothing more lovely, nothing more beautiful than the redemptive plan of God that He gave His only begotten Son. And let me tell you, from sunrise to sunset to back over again, from the rising of the sun to going down of it, our God is God always, and make no mistake about it, we ought to serve Him in spirit and truth. Now, Father, we ask Your blessings upon the reading of the Word, and we do thank You for it and how good that it is to be in the house of God. We thank You now, and Thou art God, beside Thee there's none else. I pray You bless these boys and girls, build a hedge about them, guard their heart and their mind. Help us, I pray, to be able to look unto Thee, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, we thank You for the good singing. Now, speak to our heart from Thy Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank You, and be seated. All right, taking up with verse number 22. In verse number 22 of the chapter, he said, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." And the lesson that we look at, I want to preach a little while, an old sermon, when men forget God. In the day and hour we're living in, and that's why we ought to pray earnestly, and we ought to warn each other earnestly and honestly, is because of the fact is that the devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. These young men, they're fine young men, they're decent young men. These young ladies are fine young ladies, decent young ladies. I got to tell you right now is that every now and again I'll be on TV, and you'll see one of those charismatic stations where they look like a bunch of hippies, and they're all raising their hands, and they're all of them, "Does anybody want to have the Holy Ghost?" and blah, blah, and blah. I got to tell you, the reason they do that, you can tell by looking at them in cut-off shorts and tight breeches and this and that. And the whole congregation, you can just tell that these are people that have no Bible. These are people that don't care what the Bible said. They just kind of make it up as they go along. These are people here that if you preach the only way that God said can you be saved, they wouldn't show back up for the next singing trip. I don't say to you, make no mistake about it, that the world and the flesh and the devil is going to try to get you involved in and caught up in something. I tell somebody every now and again that, hey, there's a young man, that's a fine young man. There's a young lady, that's a fine young lady. And let me tell you right now is that we live in a world that's somehow or another. I listened to the testimony on the news of a lady. She got a daughter, got hooked in on that fentanyl. And not only that, but then she had some of the powder and her, like her infant baby, a year and a half, 2 years old maybe, that some of that got a hold of some of that powdery of the fentanyl and killed it, buddy, and just killed it. Let me tell you, we live in a world like that, friend, that's going on and on and on, and it's going to wax worse and worse till Jesus shall come again. I got to say that when you begin to look into it, is that when men forget God, and that's where we're at in the day and hour we're living in, and we ought to be thinking about God from the time we get up, from the time that the sun rises till it sets again, until it goes around and then rises again. Let me tell you, God is the Lord, and He's greatly to be praised. Now, the Bible said the wicked's going to be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. Listen, you're in a dangerous place that if you're not real with God, just one day throwing up your hand, just forgetting what God said, forgetting everything you ever learned, and going the way of the world, the flesh, and the devil, if you're not careful with it. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out how easy that it is for people to just turn their back on God. in the day we live in, you're going to find out that a person may forget God, and when he does, it's going to affect their mind. And not only that, it's going to affect their mannerism. And you read over in Deuteronomy 32, don't turn there, but over there in Deuteronomy chapter number 32, and the Bible said, of the rock that beget them, they weren't mindful anymore. You know what makes a person go to forgetting God? They just quit thinking about him. I mean, they don't think about his word. They don't think about his word. They're not thinking about what he had to say. And let me tell you how easy that it is. I can promise you right now, you sit here this morning, all of you are very attentive. You're an unusual church. I realize, though, that by the time we dismiss, any given one of you with any brain cells working at all could probably tell me 75, 80%, whereas the average person can't tell you more than 15%. I appreciate both amens, and it doesn't make any difference. Some of what was it that he said? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, it's sort of like some of these little grenade jokes that we tell. You know, it takes a minute for it to finally blow up, and oh yeah, now I got it. I got to say to you that, if you will, there's going to be coming that day to where that you're going to need to be mindful of him. You're going to need to remember a chapter, a book, and a verse of here's what thus saith the Lord about this situation that we're going to be talking about. Now, I want to tell you something. When men forget God, if you ever go to forgetting God, you'll become more flexible. You'll go to feeling sorry for people that are living in open sin. You'll go to getting to where that, hey, that doesn't seem as bad as it used to. You'll become a little bit more flexible. You'll not be solid. You'll not be permanent in your walk with God. See? And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that you'll get to where you're unpredictable. You know, you can't have any confidence in the flesh. It'll always lead you astray. It'll lead you the wrong direction. Flesh will. And let me tell you right now, when the storms of life begin to rant and rave against you, is that remember over there in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 57, whenever he talked about the wicked are like the troubled sea and casting up the mire and the mud and this and that, there is no peace save my God to the wicked. But I want you to look over in the book of Jude. Don't lose your text. But in the book of Jude, there's a passage in verse number 13 that we ought to be looking at. Jude in verse number 13. Now, when you look into that chapter that's there, we will remember the troubled sea. And the Bible said in Jude, verse number 13, here's what he said. After he said, they're without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. These are raging waves of the sea. Look, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars who has reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? When you go down to the ocean, and you see the thing over there crashing against the bank and the foam that it leaves and goes back out. When sometimes you're driving across just Sam Rayburn and you see all of a sudden the white cap, which I've never been across there many times that it wasn't white capping, and you see the foam that it's doing. And what God's doing on every hand is reminding you and I and reminding this world that that's the way religion without God is. They're foaming out their shame, and they don't even know it, and neither do they even care. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that when people forget God, you'll find they become more flexible. Not only that, but when people forget God, buddy, it makes them get to where they're less faithful. We're living in the day and our people are in church, out of church, more out than they are in. And I'm not talking about our crew. We're a pretty consistent bunch. In fact, as you know, we're not running 1,000, but anybody that is running 1,000, by tonight, they'll be running less than 500. And by Wednesday night, they'll run about 50 if they have a Wednesday night service. That's just the way that it is. It's Sunday morning glories. And let me tell you right now is that that's all right if that's all you're going to need. You're probably a better Christian than I am because I'm going to have a little more than that. I have a lot of trouble just being faithful to the house of God on a regular basis. I have a lot of trouble keeping my mind right, keeping my heart right, walking with God. I don't want to become like a foaming, raging sea that's spewing out shame all around me. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that what is it makes people forget about God? Well, there's several things that are in the Bible. The very top one is the love of money is the root of all evil. And I'm going to tell you right now, is I've got more than a dollar in my pocket. And I'm glad I do. And if it'll make you happy, and I was going to give it to you, but now I don't have it. I must have left it on the counter. No, I won't bring it tonight for you. I don't say it takes a certain amount, so we're not talking about that. But we're talking about a money-hungry, money-loving world that if they love silver, the Bible said they'll not be satisfied with silver. What you end up having to do is that you're going to find is that the love of money and the love of material things. And boy, make no mistake about it, is that there's a certain amount of things, a certain amount of money, a certain amount of material, a certain amount of things that we've got to have in this and that. Over there in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says in chapter number 4, don't turn there, verse number 9 and verse number 23. You know, one of the things that made them forget about God is because that something happened on the inside of their heart. They got to wanting more than they were able to provide. And whenever they began to get it, they began to forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 12. I want to tell you, whenever he said, when God says you forget where I brought you from, and when you lose sight of when you got saved, when you lose sight of that, you're on dangerous ground. Now, I want to tell you, I'm saved forever. And I want to exercise myself to be able to think about it and talk about it and thank God for it on a regular basis. I not only thank God for saving me, I thank God for saving my wife. Thank God for saving our kids, some of our grandkids. Thank God for you and your wife and your children and your family. I want to say thank God for the fact that they've come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. But when you get away from God, you'll become less thankful about those kind of things. In chapter number 8 of the book of Deuteronomy, in verse 11, 14, and verse 19, you're going to find out that we've already talked about money, we've talked about material, but he said when they built goodly houses, you know what's going to happen when you get into that land and go to building a goodly house, you're going to forget all about God who brought you here. And if we're not careful, that's exactly what we'll do. Nice house to be able to sit in. And of course, you realize it all, that we've got more things to tempt us than they had in that day and hour. And let me say to you that, if you will, it won't matter if you didn't have TV back then or you didn't have some things luring you like the world, the flesh, and the devil did. Let me tell you, we're all of a subject to like passion. you ain't got to have some of the modern things of life to cause your mind to be in the gutter. And to look at a woman and lust after her, to look at a man and to swoon. You know, hey, it's nothing wrong with these boys and girls. Lord, send me a good-looking gal along somewhere, got money in the pocket, and that one of these days I can ask to marry me. Nothing wrong with that, but it may not be that way. You mean you're broke? Oh, well, you look like $1 million. And all, see? It's not wrong, you know, for you gals. Lord, I'm praying. I'd like to be a wife. I'm praying you'll send me somebody. But you don't want to get so desperate to where that you're like that gal that was praying and praying. And, oh, dear God, please, I'm begging you to give me a man that I can marry, that I can have a husband. Little knowings to her, there was an owl in a tree, and he said, who? Oh, I don't care, Lord. Just anybody will do. Don't get that desperate. Anybody's just not going to do. What makes people forget God, buddy? I can tell you, it might be a house. It might be a spouse. We could go on and on and on, but let me tell you something, is that you're going to find out, for we ought to, by the grace of God, thank God for how good God's been and what God's done. Look in Psalms 106, turn quickly there. We'll not get bogged down too long with that, but look in Psalm chapter number 106. It's in about verse number 13. Now here you are, as you sit here, and we look at this, and I'm going to tell you something. The lust of other things will make you forget all about God. And it makes you, because of the fact that whenever that goes to getting a hold of you, you won't listen to reason, and you won't listen to wise counsel. Look in Psalms 106, verse number 13, in the passage that we're looking at there. And here's what he said. They soon forget his works, and they waited not for his counsel. But they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, and sent, but he sent leanness into their soul. I've told you in days gone by, and I'll remind you again, I used to have in Louisiana. We had singers in Louisiana as talented as we've got sitting right here in this building. And let me tell you, some men, some women, some of them mixed together as men and women, you know, quartet and quintets and this and that and all that. Listen, there was about four or five men that I promise you could open up their mouth and heaven would come down and glory would fill your soul. And I thought to myself, my Lord, what a blessing. You talk about people that loved God in the Bible. I mean, I really felt like that they did. And then they got to wanting to go out after the world, and as a result, they were working a turnaround, and they was gone about 2 or 3 months at a time. And boy, they was needing to make money, and money they were making. When they came back in, they were deader than a hammer. When they came back in, it'd take them at least a week or two or three to get back in to where they left from. And it wasn't long until they weren't coming back in and hooking up where they left from. They were just from. I want to say to you, some of them got to running around with other women. Now, I realize that it may not be a problem to you. But I got to tell you right up front, if your man's a red-blooded American man, he's going to need some attention every now and then.
Yes, sir.
If your wife is a red-blooded American woman, she's going to have somebody that gives her something besides orders and talking to like she's a dog. You're going to have somebody that can compliment you. And let me ask, don't raise your hand. I can't tell you how many times that I've told my wife she looks beautiful this morning. Now, if you hadn't told your wife that, then what you ought to do is you ought to do it. And I'm not talking about on credit. But I want to say to you that if you will, that make no mistake about it, it's a blessing from on high. And all that business there, I walked in. I'll go ahead and say this. She don't like me using her, but anyhow, as you can tell, I walked in there and in the bathroom, and there's a full-length mirror. And I said, "That's it, hon. I don't blame you for standing there and looking at it, admiring yourself. I can't hardly take my eyes off of you either." You got to have some fun as you go along. And, oh, yeah, have I ever said anything like that to her and she lashed back at me? Yeah, yeah. But you know what happens to me when that happens? I say, oh, I like a feisty woman. I like it when you're feisty. See, but if you're not careful, you'll show your behind. Well, all right, then vomit all the crap you can out. I want to say to you, what makes people forget God? I tell you why, because we're supposed to have some heaven to be able to go to heaven in. And when you get married, it's a picture of Christ, and it's a picture of the church. And let me tell you right now, you don't find him fussing and fighting and raising Cain, calling her a bunch of names. Appreciate all two or three of y'all and all that business right there. The rest of you name callers, God bless you. We love you anyhow. I want to say to you that if you will, please, why do people forget about God? I'll tell you why. It's because they quit thinking about him and how good the grace of God has been bestowed upon their life. Every now and again, you just need to take a little bit of time out and to be able to recognize and realize and know that he's God. Besides him, there is none else. Over in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 2, at about verse number 12 through 17, you're going to find out there were people that knew the right path, but they just got out of the will of God, got out of the path of God. They quit fellowshipping and walking with God. And as a result of that, you're going to find out they knew the right path, but they forsook it. There's a passage over there in the book of James, and you ain't got to turn there, but in chapter number 1, verse 24, James 1, 24, is that the Bible said whenever a man goes and looks at a mirror and a looking glass, when he goes and looks at that glass, and then when he leaves there, he forgetteth what manner of man that he was. I want to tell you, the reason people get away from God, they quit looking at themselves in the mirror of God's Word. And boy, when it does, you'll forget what's out of sort. You say, you just will. I want to say to you that as you begin to look into this, is that you may forget about God. I know that Saul forgot about God and brought back the wrong king and brought back a king and brought back some of his animals. And you'll find out that Agag was the king that was there, and he thought somehow or another maybe they would roll the carpet out for him. But I got to tell you, make no mistake about it, that old Samuel said, just like you have made women childless, I'm going to make you, I'm going to get rid of you. And he took that sword and he hewed him to pieces out right there. I got to say to you, if you will, whatever God says, it'll be the same tomorrow. It'll be the same yesterday, today, and it'll be the same forever. I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the coming of the Lord. I say every now and again, I dread the judgment seat of Christ, but that's my fault. I need to straighten up something, see? But that's the truth of the matter. And make no mistake about it, I'm probably not going to look nearly as good to the Lord as I do to myself. And probably you're not either. But I'm glad that God's grace has been, is now, will be tomorrow sufficient for you and I. I wonder this morning, do you know him in the free pardon of sin? Are you walking with him in spirit and in truth? I hope if you're not, you'll get straightened up and straightened out and in the right path. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings now upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it and how good that it is to be in the house of God. We praise you, thou art God, from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there is none else. Now bless, I pray, this word to every heart, and I pray that, Lord, that you'd help us to order our conversation aright in accordance to thy word. We thank you once again for having